Christian life is not meant to be a mere dip in the pool. Our generous God offers a wellspring of eternal blessings for those who accept His love and forgiveness. Northgate Church is a community where believers are encouraged to wholeheartedly follow Christ and fully experience God's goodness. A new message series presents 7 ways to go all in through baptism, welcoming, serving, group life, giving, inviting, and sharing our stories. Here's today's message.
Good morning, everyone. All right. You guys are so ready to go. I love that. I got to tell you, 2 quick things as we jump in. One, I mentioned that song in the message last night, and they were like, well, we could just sing it tomorrow, and they just put that together. Now, Tara had to learn the song. Anthony actually was one of the writers of the song, so he kind of knew it already. But they were like, we can just sing that tomorrow, and that was awesome. And number 2, Kingdom Bound starts today, and Anthony will tell me not to say this after the first service. The Buffalo News had an article. It was 4-day guide to Kingdom Bound, and it said on Sunday, the thing you don't want to miss is Brothers McCleric had a really nice thing about them there. So if you're going to Kingdom Bound, be there tonight, 7:30 at the amphitheater stage there. Brothers McCleric will be on there. It's going to be a great couple of days. But right now, we have got a great hour together. We've got a great just time celebrating baptism and everything else that goes into that. And we're in a series called All In. And if you were here last week, you know that we talked about the next step for a lot of people being baptism. And we have people taking that step this weekend, which is exciting. But what's cool about this series, and one of the reasons we're doing it over the summer, is each message kind of stands by itself, right? You can kind of, if you weren't here last week, don't worry, you can go watch it, especially if you are questioning if you should be baptized. But either way, you can kind of pick this up where we are. So we're talking about our next steps in our walk with Christ, our next steps in our journey here, our participation at Northgate, so that we can be all in. Because truthfully, that is what we need from you. We need a church full of people who aren't just involved, people who are committed, people who are all in. And a big part of that is going to help us is being a welcoming church. It's a big step in being all in. Right after Amy and I were married, we began to build a house in Churchville, which was not too far from where we lived, and we'd like to go and we'd check it out and see. We didn't have any kids or anything, so like every day we'd go and just see the progress. And when we did that, we noticed that there was a cafe just around the corner, like a half a mile from the house. And so we were really excited about that because Amy loves little cafes, you know, like it's just one of the things. So we moved in, and on the first Saturday, we're like, we're going up to this cafe, we're all excited, and we walk up there. And I'll never forget opening the door, because we opened the door, we're excited to be there, just moving the neighborhood, and it felt like we walked into someone's living room. Like, we just, like, walked into somebody's house. We're like, what's up? I remember just everybody there, like, at the tables, turning and looking at us, and, like, the waitress, like, stopping right in the order and looking over, and, like, the cook leaning out and looking at us, and we were like, oh, man, we've committed some kind of egregious error, right? Like, we should not be here. And we came in, and we sat down, and the coffee was okay, and the breakfast sandwich was really good. I never forget a breakfast sandwich. But we never went back there. We never went back there because we walked in and we could not have felt less welcome, right? We felt like, oh no, we've come to a birthday party that we weren't invited for. Tom Rainier, who studies churches and puts out a lot of great data and studies on churches, he said in a book a little while ago, Surprising Insights from the Unchurched, he said that 80% of the people that come to a church for the first time know whether or not they will come back for a second time before the service begins. 4 out of 5 people have already decided whether or not they will come back to a church based on the parking lot, based on if they were greeted when they came in, based on the appearance of the building, on if things are nice and well kept, if you know things look good outside, on how it went dropping their kids off, all that stuff. So before Anthony even starts to sing, before anybody starts to preach, 4 out of 5 people have already said, yeah, we're coming back next week, or no, we are not. And so my main point today is that everyone has a part to play in making our church feel welcoming. Every single one of us has a role in this. It's crucial because it takes everyone to make a church feel welcoming. We all have things we have to do to make that happen. Pastors and staff will never make a church feel welcoming on their own, especially a church the size of Northgate. There's not enough of us, and some of us aren't that nice, so we need your help. I'm joking. All right. The downside It takes everyone to make a church feel welcoming. Anyone can make a church not feel welcoming, right? It only takes one really bad experience for it not to feel welcoming. And there's some good stories and there's some bad stories about this. I was talking to Reverend Laverne Bates, who, if you've been here for a long time, you remember that name. He's a Free Methodist pastor for a long time. He was here in the late 70s. And we were talking about Northgate, and he said, Northgate's just always had this open heart of loving and including everyone. He said, that's always been the church. He said, in the late 70s, I was a pastor there, and I coached a hockey team. It was like one of the ways he wanted to connect with the community. And he said, I'll never forget, a mom on the hockey team came to me, and she said, I'm going through a divorce, and I've been told I wouldn't be welcome at my church anymore. Somebody else told me I'd be welcome at Northgate. Is that true? And he said, absolutely, that's true. And this became her church. And he's telling me that, and I said, that's so cool, because that's still the DNA of the church to this day, is that there's never a list outside that says you got to meet these five requirements before you come in, right? The doors are open, and the church is the church for whoever comes through those doors. And we hear good stories all the time about that, of people feeling welcomed here, of people walking in and immediately feeling like this is going to become our church. But before we pull a muscle patting ourselves on the back, it's not always that way. Right? We will hear times of people saying, I came to your church, I enjoyed the music, I liked the message, the building was nice, no one said a word to me. We're always like, oh man, right? Like, we all grieve that every time that happens. It hurts us. Like, we don't want that to be somebody's experience. We had a Google review. John Christ did a thing on Google reviews, which led me to read the churches. This one said, the church doctrine seems solid, this being my first exposure to Free Methodist, and I really like that they are expository in their sermons, which is really ironic because this is a very topical sermon. It's not expository. So if you wrote this, hang with us. Very nice building that gives concerns over being form over function, but I don't think so. Thank you for the benefit of the doubt. The only negative was that nobody greeted me, including the pastor who walked right past me. Otherwise, would give it 5 stars. Now, it's 9 months ago, so Pastor Marcia wasn't here yet. We can take her off the list. Pastor Vern is really great about being in the middle of the lobby and welcoming everyone. Like, it's probably me, right? It wasn't Pastor Greg. We can take him off, too. It was probably me. And so you read that, and you think, oh, man, they had a really good experience, except no one made them feel welcome. So I want to talk about how you can make Northgate a welcoming church. Each of us, individually, what can we do to collectively make this a welcoming church? And the first thing is by taking ownership. By taking ownership, because there is a very big difference between the church I go to and my church. Acts 20:28, it's talking to the leaders of the church, the people that this is their church, and here's what it says, keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. So again, he's talking to the elders there, but this is to all of us to say, this is our church. We are responsible for this church. God has entrusted this church to us. We have to care for it. We have to make it a healthy atmosphere where people are truly brought into a relationship with Jesus Christ and built up in that relationship and then sent out to share his love. And not just a few of us, not just a couple people, but everyone that says, yes, Northgate is my church. And there's a few things that I think we can't forget as Christ followers when it comes to the church. One is how highly Jesus values the church. In Scripture, the church is referred to as the bride of Christ. And I'm telling you, there would be no quicker way to alienate me or to make me just not want to be close to you than not valuing or disrespecting my bride. There's no quicker way to do that. Like, if you tried to tell me that you loved me and you hated Amy, I would have a really big problem with that. Like, first, just logically, Amy is way nicer than me. So that was like, that's not a good way to do it. But second, it doesn't work like that. We are one, right? I'm one with my bride. You don't get to claim to hate one and to love the other. If you hate her, you hate me. So don't tell people that you love Jesus but hate the church. Sometimes I have people say, I'm a Christian, but I don't need to go to church. I say, well, what you need to do is read your Bible, right? You need to see what Jesus says about the church and what the Bible says about the church. Or sometimes people say, well, I'm a Christian, but I had a bad experience at church, so I don't go anymore. Okay. Like, I had a bad experience at a restaurant once. I didn't stop going to all restaurants. I stopped going to that restaurant, right? I was like, that's it. Restaurants are done. We're cooking at home forever. But people have a bad church experience, and I'm not demeaning or minimalizing your bad church experience. But that happens, and then they say, well, I'm out on church. No, that's fine. Find a church where it's a healthy experience. So we can't forget how highly Jesus values the church. And secondly, I don't think we can forget the high price that Jesus paid for the church. As this verse reminds us, a price that was paid in his own blood. Jesus values the church, and he paid an incredible price for it. And we have to remember those things when we're dealing with the church. We have to remember those things when we're talking about the church, when we're serving the church, when we're making other people feel welcome in our church. And we have to keep our ears open for when people are speaking about churches in general. This came to us a little bit ago where there were some people at a local restaurant, and, you know, it's one of those things people are kind of gathered around talking, and a bunch of people are saying, oh, man, you know, churches, they're hypocrites, they're this, they're that, you know, all the stuff that people say about churches. And somebody that was there kind of stood up and was like, well, that's not true of my church. You should come to Northgate sometime. You should see Northgate because my church is different. And if you went there, you would be welcome there. And those are the things that make us just want to stand up and be like, yes, all right, you get it, that's it. And I'm glad that that's been your experience, and I'm glad you want that to be others' experience. So we need to take ownership. A church full of people that say, this is my church, not just the church I go to. A church full of people who are all in. A church full of people who are invested and who take ownership. One of my favorite jobs growing up, one of my first jobs, and I've said a lot of times up until Northgate, maybe my favorite job, I was working at the Charcoal Corral in Perry, and this is a free plug because I love that place, and it was so much fun to work, and it's a great place to go, especially when you got kids, you go back and you realize why parents spend so much money there. But when I was working there, one of the things that Rick did, the owner, that was really smart, is you start as what's called a runner. So you wipe tables, you clean tables, you empty trays, you empty garbages, you pick stuff up on the floor, and you do that, and that's how you start. You want to work there, you start there. Does a couple things. One, gets rid of people that don't have any work ethic, right? Because that's not really fun, glamorous work. Like, yeah, you want to do security at the drive-in? Cool, everyone does. Clean tables for a while, and we can talk about that later. But two, we had ownership in it. We began to take ownership. I took a lot of ownership in the cleanliness of that building after doing that for a month before I moved on to be a cook. And so when I, even once that wasn't my responsibility, if I walked by something that was a mess, you know, I would clean the table off or I would empty the garbage. I would wash my hands and then return to cooking. But I would still do it even though it wasn't my job anymore because I had ownership in it. I love when I'm in the lobby and I see somebody like pick up trash that's on the ground, like pick up a paper towel or something, whatever it is, and throw it out. Right? I love when I see people do that because it doesn't have to be Mark Logan that does that, right? It can be anybody that takes ownership and says, this is my church. I want to make sure it's clean and nice and presentable. I mean, what if somebody came to your house and you didn't even acknowledge that they came in, right? What if they walked in your house and you just sat on the couch, you didn't even get up? We have to take responsibility like we would if this was our own house, if somebody comes in to make them feel as welcome as we would because this is our church. Second thing, how can you make Northgate a welcoming church? By putting others first. We've got to put others first. Romans 15, 1 and 2 gives us this encouragement. We who are strong are to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please our neighbors for their good to build them up. So many good things in there. It says, we who are strong. So people who have followed Christ longer, those who are hopefully more built up in our relationship with Jesus, we should not be as concerned with what we want. But we should be more concerned with helping those who are newer in that relationship, those who aren't as strong in that relationship. And why should we put them first? It says right in the verse, to build them up so that they can get to that spot, so that they can have a growing, developing relationship with Jesus. So we should be a church who puts others first so that they can be built up. And Northgaters, I've got to tell you, especially younger Northgaters who might not know this, we have had people demonstrate this in an absolutely incredible way. We really have. I always go back to a video in 2011 that we made with Olive Hockey, who has been at this church for so long, such a wonderful saint, a woman of God. And she said in this video, it isn't about the kind of music I like best. It's about what will bring young families into this church so that they can experience the love of Jesus like I have. I love that she's saying, it's not all about my preferences. I know Jesus. I've walked with Jesus. I want other people to experience this. So it's not about my preferences. It's about building other people up. And she is just one of so many people who have embodied that here. And it's part of what has made Northgate such a great church. When you have people who are in a church of 200 or 300 people and they watch the church grow and grow and they watch the building move and the worship style change and all this stuff, and they said, it's all right, look, it's working, it's reaching people, and that's okay. It might not be my preference, but this is still my church, and it's about building others up. And the people that have done that, you have been what's made Northgate a great church. It has never been a church where people gripped tightly to what they wanted the most or what they liked the most. A church that slowly dies over time because people were scared to change things from the way that it's always been. Here's the challenge. My generation, if you're around my age and younger, we have to do the same thing as we get older. We have to follow what's been modeled for us. Because it's cool now, because I would choose things to be like they are right now. I listen to the music that we play on the weekends when I'm not here. But I'm right in the middle of that young family demographic, so that's pretty easy. But as I get older, as I hit, 40s and 50s and 60s, things might not be my style anymore. But if it's reaching people, and if it's drawing new people in so they can experience the love of Jesus like I have, then I've got to be okay with it. I've got to put others first. Let's never be a church that's all about the people that are already here. Instead, let's always be looking for how we can put others first, others who have come to our church and others who have not yet come here. Next thing, how can you make Northgate a welcoming church? You can do this by being aware. This is for me. It might apply to you too, but this is for me. Hebrews 13, 1 and 2 tells us, keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it, which is the song that they just sang. How do we love one another as brothers and sisters? By showing hospitality to strangers. But to do that, in order to be able to do that, we've got to have our eyes open. We've got to be aware. We have to be looking around. At Kingdom Bound last year, Ian Zumbeck, who is the artist that sings that song, he sang Entertaining Angels, and I just immediately loved it. Right? I was like, man, it's a great song. It's in my head. I'm singing it to myself. Now, we work at the worship tent, and we usually get there around 8 in the morning, and we're not done until 10 or 11 at night. It's a lot of fun. Don't feel bad for me. It's just a long day. And so at the end of the day, last year, one of the main days, I don't remember which one it was, I'm just exhausted. I can't wait to get back to the hotel and go to sleep. I walk out of the back of the tent singing this song, Entertaining Angels, to myself. And I walk out, and there's a guy from Canada. His name's Bruce. He's a pastor, and he's got his golf cart, and he's got this lady in a motorized scooter. And he's like, hey, buddy. Hey. Because he's Canadian. let's see. That's all I got. And he was like, Can you help me with this lady? And I was like, oh, man, I just want to go to bed. And I was like, yeah, what are we doing? He's like, well, we got to get her in the golf cart. I got to take her over to the other side of the park, and she can't get there, so we got to get her in the cart, and then we got to get the scooter in the cart. And I was like, man, what? Canadians are so nice. What's he doing? I just want to go back. I just want to go sleep. So we pick this woman up, and she's got some physical struggles, and we pick her up, and we get her into the golf cart, and then we lift this scooter thing and get it in the back of the golf cart, and she's super grateful, and he's grateful, and they drive away, and I'm like, oh, man. I walk away singing about Entertaining Angels on the way back, and I know you're thinking, oh, and at that point it hit you. It didn't hit me. Next morning, I get up, song still in my head. I walk back to the worship tent at 8 in the morning, and there's Bruce. He's like, you won't believe this. I'm driving with that lady last night, and she told me that she was diagnosed with a brain tumor, and she has less than a month to live. And he starts to tell me this story and tell about how he was able to pray with her and connect with her. And he's like, so thanks for helping me with that last night. And it was that moment that I was like, oh, that's funny, God, right? Because here I am singing about Entertaining Angels and helping strangers, and at the same time, I have the blinders on to what I'm trying to do so much that I don't even see that God gave me a wonderful opportunity to do that in the midst of it. So for many of us, to be able to be aware here at Northgate, we would have to probably be here 10 or 15 minutes earlier. And I know, like parents with young kids, well, actually, I was going to say I get it, but I leave in the morning by myself and my wife brings the kids. My wife gets it, right? I understand it's hard to be here with young kids, but when we do that, and if you don't have young kids at home, then you can get up and do that. We need to be here early enough that we can look around, right? We can take a breath and we can look and see what's going on, see if there's people that we don't know. And a real quick tip, if you see somebody walk into the lobby, they come in there and they look up over here and over here, there's signs there. Right? Some of you don't even know that. You've been here long enough, you don't even know there's signs. People that aren't familiar with Northgate come in and they look at those signs because they want to see where they're supposed to go. If you see that, that's a really good hint to run over and be like, hey, how you doing? I'm John. Like, say your own name if your name's not John. Like, can I help you find something? Like, can I, the cafe's over there, whatever that is. It's a really good chance to do that. And sure, they might say, I've been here for 3 years, right? Everybody on staff has welcomed someone to church that's been here longer than us. And it's awkward for a little bit, and you're like, well, sorry. But it's a good opportunity to do that. And if somebody does that to you, if they welcome you, you've been coming here for 15 years, just be gracious. They're trying to make sure that everybody feels welcome, that the guests are. One of the most welcoming and familiar faces here at Northgate is Jose Rene, who is usually the first person in our parking lot, right? Everybody loves Jose Rene. He told me a story on his first Sunday, almost 15 years ago. He came here, he'd never been here. He walked in, and Steve Clem recognized him as someone that hadn't been here and immediately greeted him, welcomed him to Northgate. Kind of made sure, you know, you need anything. Jose Rene came in, he went to the service, and then afterwards, this is great, afterwards Steve followed up. He saw him again, found him, and said, how was the service? Did you enjoy it? And he's like, yeah. He goes, so I'm going to see you next week. You're going to come back? He's like, yeah, I think I am. And 15 years later, he's still coming back every week. And now he's one of the primary welcoming faces here at Northgate because somebody else took that ownership and they were aware of someone who was here for the first time. And listen, part of the problem with being in our own bubble, a trap that we can all fall into, leads to another way that we can make Northgate a welcoming church. Northgate can be a welcoming church when we are not being exclusive. We can't be exclusive. Most churches, the vast majority of churches, believe that they are friendly, when truthfully they are only friendly to the people that they already know, right? We get in our bubble, we get in our circle, and those are the people we're friendly with. But Galatians 3, 26 to 29 gives us this reminder about the body of Christ. It says, in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So we're all children of God. There's no separation of race. There's no separation of economic status. There's no separation of level of dress or in how long you've been following God or trying to follow God or how long you've been coming to Northgate. If you belong to Christ, we are one in Christ Jesus. And we have to not only reflect that in our scripture and in our doctrine or in our core values, we have to reflect that in how we actually treat people. One of the things that I really love about Northgate, and that I think helps make it feel welcoming, is that every Sunday, you will see people here that are in dresses and ties, right? You will see people that are in a different level of dress, and then you'll see people like me. And I love that, because there are people who strongly believe that part of giving God our best is wearing our best, is dressing up like that on Sunday. And I grew up with that. I totally respect that. But there are also people that don't have clothes like that. And there are people who aren't comfortable in clothes like that. And I always want people who have t-shirts and jeans to know that when they walk into a church like this, that it is a church for them too. Now, that doesn't mean if you dress up, please don't stop dressing up, because when they walk in, they need to see you, right? If people that like to dress up walk in, they need you to be like, oh yeah, this is a church for me too. I had a guy earlier this year tell me he always took his piercings out and wore long sleeves to cover up his tattoos at his old church. But when he walked in here, he immediately knew that it was a place where he could actually be himself. He said that was so freeing to feel like I didn't have to hide who I am. And I hope that we're always a church that communicates that to people walking through those doors, that when people walk in, that is what they feel. I have a childhood memory. I was probably about 8 of being in church on a Sunday, and it was a farming area, and I remember a vet coming in, and he had been called in, and then he got done with the call, and he didn't have time to go and get changed, so he came in. He didn't stink or anything, but he's wearing, like, you know, coveralls and stuff, and he came in, and he just stood in the very back of the church. And I remember after the service, somebody going up to him and telling him, this is a church where we give God our best. And you're not giving God your best with how you're dressed. And I was like 8, and I remember being like, no way, man, that guy had a great excuse to skip church this morning, right? How many other people would be like, well, I got called to work, guess I can't go. But he overlooked the excuse and said, if I go now, I can still get most of the service. And he did that. And I remember watching that and being like, I think you've got it all wrong. I think the guy in coveralls understands what this is about. So let's be a church that is inclusive, not a church that's exclusive, not a church that ever sets a standard of what people need to be. This is not a church just for certain people. It is for everyone that walks through those doors. And the fifth thing, how can you make Northgate a welcoming church? You can do that by being encouraging. By being encouraging, Hebrews 10, 23 to 25 gives us this encouragement. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So if we really have this hope that we claim to, if we have this hope that we profess, as the author of Hebrews says, then we have to consider how we can spur each other on towards growth. And in order to do that, the first thing it says, don't give up meeting together, right? Don't give up meeting together. We have to be here. We have to make church a priority. Church cannot just be something that we do when nothing else is going on. 15 years ago, 80% of churchgoers were at church 3 or 4 weekends a year. 15 years ago, not that long ago. Now, only 25% go 3 or 4 times a month. Did I say a year? I got to get that right. Stats are hard. 15 years ago, 80% of people went 3 or 4 times a month, which is great, right? 3 or 4 times a month. Now that's down to 25%. 40% of churchgoers only come 1 time a month. We've lost the priority of church, and I'm telling you, if you are only coming once a month, you are missing out on what God has for you. If your kids are only coming 1 time a month, they are missing out on what God has for them. We can't give up meeting together. Church has got to be a priority. We communicate that and how big of a priority we make it in our lives. So don't give up meeting together. And then secondly, it says encourage one another. That can take on a lot of different forms. Right? We can encourage each other to be here. This is a big enough church that sometimes we realize when people are gone for a couple weeks, and a lot of times we don't. We try, but if truthfully, if you're not serving anywhere and you're not connected in a group, that's pretty hard to do. But if you notice somebody that's been gone for a couple weeks, friends, somebody you normally see, you can send them a message and be like, hey, you know, I've missed you. I haven't seen you the last couple weeks. And they might write back and say, we've been going to the 11 o'clock. And you're like, okay, cool. Well, let's connect sometime. Or they might write back and say, yeah, you know, we've missed a couple weeks. This happened, that happened. And almost always they say, but we'll be back next week. You can encourage people in that way. You can encourage one another when you see growth, when you see effort, when you see people working on things in their lives. Please, you can encourage the people who are serving. Genuinely thank the people that are with your kids right now. Thank the people at the cafe. Thank the people that are in the parking lot, the people that work hard to try and make this feel welcoming. But find ways to be encouraging and then actually follow through with it. And I want you to know that everyone here, everyone that says Northgate is my church, you're automatically signed up for this, right? You're in. I'm not going to ask you to send anything in. Like, you're signed up. You're here. It's good. I'm not even going to ask you to nod because you might not. But if you say this is my church, you have a part to play in making Northgate a welcoming church. But for some of you, you might want to take an even bigger step. You want to try and formalize that a little bit. And I just want to put this list in front of you so you know, because one of the big areas of serving that we have is in hospitality. This is making this place feel welcoming. So you can be a greeter. We'll have you scheduled. You can do it one, you know, you want to do it every week, you want to do it once a month, whatever it is, where you get here 20 minutes early and you're at a door and you make sure everybody that comes in this door is going to feel welcome this morning. We would love to have you do that. You can be a part of the ushering teams where you make sure people can find seats, that they've got cards if they want them, that they're all taken care of in that section. Wonderful way to serve. You can join Jose Renee in the parking lot, right? You can be one of the first friendly, welcoming faces that people see when they come to make sure the parking lot's safe and that we're making good use of all the spaces. You can work in the cafe. Everyone loves coffee, right? Coffee is such a good Christian habit. Or, listen, it's the socially acceptable Christian drug. We've all agreed. Just leave it as it is. Don't push it. If you want to make Mark Logan shed a single tear, tell him that you would love to be a part of the snow removal team. Like, I know some of you don't want to talk about snow, but it is going to come back. And when it does, it takes a lot of work to keep all the sidewalks clear around here, right? To make sure everything's clear so people can safely come to church. Those are all ways that you could be involved in making Northgate a more welcoming church. You can see me. You can email me. It's just John, J-O-H-N, at northgatefmc.com. Or go to the next steps on the app and click volunteering and say, I want to do this. I want to make this a part of how I make Northgate more welcoming. But ask yourself, does Northgate feel more welcoming because you're here? Is it a more welcoming church because you are here this weekend? And what could you do to ensure that Northgate is a more welcoming church because it is your church? Because every single one of us has a part to play in making Northgate a welcoming church.